Greetings in Christ's name. It is a pleasure to be here. We always enjoy coming to Ireland, and we always have nice weather. Several times, Dan would want to make sure we know that was not normal weather. But we've been here since Tuesday, and it's just been lovely, beautiful, wonderful. It was more Ireland-type weather back home than it was here, but we needed the rain too, so. So I bring you greetings from Cold Springs Mennonite Church. And as he mentioned, that's where Wendell and Sherry are with us. Wendell and I were actually ordained at the same time. And pray, if you will, for Susanna's health. She continues to struggle. She is getting a bit better, but she continues to struggle with the Lyme disease that she has. The first evening we got here, beautiful evening, and we felt tired and ready to go to bed, but the moon was coming up after we enjoyed the lovely meal that the girls' house brought us. And so we went down to the harbor, and I couldn't help but I took some a video and sent it to Wendell and Sherry of the harbor, the lighthouse. And Sherry replied and said, "Is that the lights of home I see?" She said, "I'm homesick." So you've had a tremendous impact on them, and they have had very much appreciation for you. Wendell sent me a message this morning, said, "Please share our greetings with the church." We've had a busy schedule since we're here, and it's been wonderful to be able to visit and catch up and again, be more reacquainted with the work. One of the things that was on our schedule Friday was to visit the school, and so we did that. We visited the different classrooms, and one of those classrooms was Miss Emily's class, and we were in there and enjoyed a short time there. We wanted to observe but not be disruptive. That's a little difficult to do. And so we enjoyed a short time in there, and then we left. Is Tommy here this morning? Was it Tommy? He's not here. So we exited the class, and Miss Emily said that Tommy raised his hand, and it wasn't time to raise his hand, but she could tell there was something burning in his heart. And so she acknowledged his request, and he said that he had some crackers that he wanted to share with Karen and I. And so he did. We were so blessed and encouraged. He had brought the crackers to school because of an assignment, and I was going to try to bring some of those along, and I had some things that sidetracked me this morning, and so I didn't get it done. But we were both blessed and challenged that Tommy, that was burning in his heart to share his crackers. The power of a cracker. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Mark 12. Read a passage there. Very familiar account. It's where Jesus was with his disciples, and he was in the in a busy place, and he was instructing his disciples, and he was talking to them, giving them instruction, as I said. I'm going to start reading in verse 38. As I said, he was talking to them, instructing them. He says, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. He's talking about these people who did things that were, some of the things that were they did were good things and needed things, things that needed to be done, but they did it for attention. They did it to be noticed. They did it for the wrong reason. You can do good things, needed things, and you can do them for the wrong reason. He said, which devour widows' houses. Widows don't need to be devoured. They don't need to be taken advantage of. They need to be helped. They need to be shared with. These men who were trying to give a good impression did not have a good impression with the widows. Jesus pointed this out in the next few scriptures here. Let's continue to read. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Do you think that was the right thing to do? A rich person should give much? Jesus instructs us to give to those in need, to tithe, to share, above tithes even. So the ones that were rich cast in much. He goes on to explain and talks about this other situation, and because of what he said about this other situation, it seems like those that cast in much, what they were doing it for. So there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called him unto him his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She cast in much, she cast in what she had in much, and she insinuates that she gave everything. Who will answer the math question? This comparison here is of the cast in much would have been like $100. And when she gave, it says, what she gave, it says the amount, that would have been like one penny. What's the calculation? How much more was the $100 than the one penny? Y'all know it. You carry the two decimals over. What is it?
99.9%.
Okay. What is it again?
99.9%.
Okay.
10,000 times?
It was a penny near 100,000 gain. How many of you would, if I'd be here as a stockbroker and I'd tell you gain 100,000 for your investment, how many of you would do that? I want to talk today, the title of my message is The Power of a Penny. I already said about the power of a cracker, but the title of the message today is The Power of a Penny. Jesus had positioned himself where he could see the treasury. Undoubtedly, this went on quite often, and when he called the disciples over, it appears that he said this widow, so they were observing too. It appears almost like maybe people, I don't know exactly why, but people would sit there and watch people doing this. It was a thing that was needed. They needed to do it. And so people would watch. So the disciples undoubtedly were watching. This widow came along. This widow didn't have any way to make any money. And what she did have, some of these same men who were putting in so much were taking advantage. So she had probably even less than she could have had if they would have not taken advantage. I didn't take the time to translate to euros, but y'all understand the our system good enough. So I'm just going to use dollars. So these men put in $100, correct? We agree with that. This ain't an equal amount to $100. This woman put in an amount that was a penny. And Craig said the increase, or the difference, was almost 100,000. Does Jesus tell the truth? Did he tell the truth? He said that the widow put in more than the men. The widow had 99 point whatever, 9 something percent less. But Jesus said that she gave, what she gave was of greater value. And Jesus doesn't tell the untruth. What did she give that was more valuable? You ever thought about the faith that she had? The men that gave in the $100 didn't need to have any faith. They had plenty, plenty more. It didn't hurt them a bit to give that in. This lady gave all that she had. Gave all that she had. And she was going to be hurting next week because she didn't have enough to live. A penny isn't much to live. But she gave it all, and when she did that, she displayed her faith. She displayed her faith. The power of a penny. What do you think of when you see a penny? I should divide y'all up. In the U.S., the data says that 2 to 3 out of 5 people will not even pick up a penny if they see it laying somewhere. So that means if you're like normal in the U.S. But most of us Anabaptist-influenced people are fairly frugal, so we probably rate higher. We would probably pick up a penny. But a penny is a penny. A penny has worth. Sometimes, though, we ourselves feel like an old penny. We may feel worthless or forgotten or discarded. Think about how a penny feels in someone dropped a dollar bill or a $100 bill and someone scooped it up. There's a penny there right beside it. Sometimes we ourselves can feel discarded, ugly, because lots of folks overlook a penny. But a penny still has value. If someone wants to give you a penny, you may turn it down. But if someone wanted to give you a truckload of pennies, you would not turn it down. So the penny has value, and pennies can make a difference. We have the power. I'm going to talk about little things, okay? We have the power to smile. We have the power to be kind. We have the power to be courteous and pleasant, the power to praise, the power to listen, the power to try, and the power to care. Every one of you and myself, we do not lack for worth. Whether you feel like a penny or not, you do not lack worth.
You have worth. You have value. We have value. We need to recognize that what we have, what God has given us, has value and is value. And we need to make the best use of it. What I'm hoping is that in the future, you'll look at 1 cent, I think that's what y'all call it here, or a penny, and look at it a little differently and at least think of the power of a penny. Dr. Dilhani Uswadi is a mastermind of leadership. Even if many of her colleagues are well under the age of 10.
the power of a penny, as she was trying to reach out to make a difference in life, she said this: you need to take the time to inspire and to be inspired. It's very important. She said, that's the motto that I like to live by. And she took this inspiration very seriously. She believed that for inspiration to make a difference and to impact people, you needed to have intention. She said, if you don't take the time to be intentional with inspiring others, there's a problem. And I don't know that this lady was a believer. She just said that from an ethical standpoint, I believe. So here's what she did. She said, a penny is a simple item. Most people have lying around. And she would like for one penny to be something that reminds people to be inspired and to inspire other people. So at her school, where she taught, where she was in charge of, they brought a bunch of pennies to school, lots of pennies, and they passed out pennies. Everyone had a penny, and then she said to her students, you have penny power. And she asked her receivers to say that when they would give it away, and everyone got a penny. She said, you tell people you have penny power Friday. Tommy had cracker power, and he inspired and encouraged us. Do you think Tommy felt better about himself when he did that, when he heeded the prompting that he had, and his teacher was kind enough to allow him to do that? So she told the students, she said, when you give a penny, you give it to someone that has blessed or inspired you, and you say, you have penny power. So take this penny and pass it on to someone else. It's like paying it forward with a focus on inspiration. She says the day after they did this project, they noticed something very special happening. The children came into school with bags of pennies. Hundreds of pennies, she says. It was so moving. They were giving them to teachers and telling their teachers how much they appreciated them. They were giving them out to their aides, to the custodians, to the parents. She said it was a love fest, truly a love fest. Let me tell you about Mrs. Epps, another penny power example. Mrs. Epps loves the time that she's able to spend with children. She's a volunteer at the Norwich Elementary School in Williamsburg, Virginia. There she works with students who have mental and physical disabilities. Her day begins long before 7 a.m. That's when she arrives. But before 7 a.m., she has to catch a bus to get to the school. When she gets there, she greets Drew, who has difficulty walking. And then she meets others of her favorite people, some who have mental, physical disabilities, all of them at that school do. She turns on a tape recorder and plays a song while her students sing and clap enthusiastically. It takes a lot of energy to work all morning, 5 days a week, with these children. I need to tell you, I didn't mention this before, Mrs. Epps is 99 years old. She says, wasted time, twisted values, I don't want to act dead while I'm still alive. Mrs. Epps might, her might, her penny, has might, and it's the might of love, penny power. Paul Beyer calls what he does the Lord's work. He lives in Leola, Pennsylvania, and every week for 35 years, He has made a, taken his truck and driven to New York City. It's a 6-hour round trip. A little bit further than going from here to the airport and back. He delivers food to the LeBarre Mission located in one of the more, I don't know what a word it may be, probably a seedier section, they call it, a section that you wouldn't normally want to venture into. But that's where he delivers food, and his truck is loaded with produce, canned meats, and pastries, which the Mennonite farmers back home and different businesses have donated. He says people trust him with the food he takes, and that his reward is to see all the happy faces when the food arrives. He's been doing that for 35 years. Yeah, once a week. If you had, I don't have another cup up here, but if you had 2 penny jars, think about this in your mind, or think about getting 2, even if you put something on somewhere to remind you. What if you had 2 penny jars, two items, and one would be where you put pennies in that you've received, and the other one would be where you take out pennies that you're going to give away. Penny power. How do you and I measure life? How are this, what scales do we use for what we plan to do and what we are doing? What if the pennies would cause you to have to measure your life by how you reach out, how you minister to other people? See, too often for myself, I want to wait till I can give $100. But what if we're okay to have penny power? Would we find ourselves with the 2 jars, would we be rich or poor? The neat thing is that when you utilize your pennies to bless others, they return. It's just how it works. You don't give to receive, but you give and you will receive. The scripture talks about different things that adhere to that principle. We as believers have been given a gift that is priceless, the gift of Jesus Christ, sacrificial gift that he gave for our souls. And we have lots and lots to offer other people with penny power, encouraging other people. Sometimes we look at wealthy people and we financially, and we are saddened by the fact that they don't seem to share their wealth. We're also blessed, and many times we're the recipients of people who share their wealth. As a believer, you are the wealthiest person around, and you have lots of wealth to share. What about if we'd be willing to do it one penny at a time instead of thinking it needs to be a notable thing that we put in so all the people in the temple can see what we do? Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1 says, "Cast your bread on the water, for thou shalt find it after many days." Another passage of scripture that's very familiar. This talks about at the judgment. Verse 40, "The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall I say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. I was naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer to them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it to me." And then he talks about the ones that did that, and they say, too, when did we do this? And he says, the same thing. You did it when you saw that.
Now, if we're going to give $100, $100 is in the comparison is significant. So what do? Well, we want to make sure that it's the right thing. We want to make sure. Too often, it's probably not our. Shouldn't be as high on our priority list as it is, but we want to make sure that this person is worthy of my gift. These conditions that Jesus mentioned are not worthy of the gifts, they just need them.
But if we think about the $100 we want to give, if you would take the $100 and put it, make $100 worth of panties and give them away one at a time, it would change our way of doing.
We should develop a pattern of and a lifestyle of giving. And if we do that and we just wake up in the morning and say, Lord, who can I give a penny to today? Who can I share the wealth that you've given me? Word of encouragement, a cracker, whatever it is, what can we do? And just bring us opportunities. And just leave it at that. And you don't have to go looking, because if we look, then we're probably looking for what the $100 will do to make a mark. And then we want to get out and make a mark that we gave $100. We don't do that with pennies.
If we give the $100 to get a mark, and we write it down because we need to do good things, Jesus said do this and this, and we make a mark. Scripture says you have your reward.
In this case, it's not gonna make a difference. All of us struggle to be available, especially if it's we have to give $100, because that takes more time, okay?
All of us are busy, busy, busy in the work of God's glory, doing it for God's glory.
But all of us have time to give, to do penny power. And how do we do missions? How do we witness? What does the scripture say?
The scripture says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you give $100 away. No, the scripture says,
showing love one to another. It's not always easy, but penny power is a terrific ministry, and every one of us can do it. No matter our schedule, no matter our responsibilities, all of us can do it. I started out with a teacher story, and I'm going to end with a teacher story. You may have heard this before, but it's worth repeating. As she stood in the front of her fifth grade class on the very first day of school, she told the children
a statement,
and that statement was not true, not quite true. Like most teachers, she looked at her students, and she said that she loves them all the same.
It's true that some people are easier to love than others.
But she said, I love you all the same. She said that, however, that was impossible, because there in that front row, slumped in his seat, was a little boy named Teddy Stoddard. Mrs. Thompson had watched Teddy the year before, and she noticed that he didn't play well with other children. And his clothes were messy, and he constantly needed a bath. And in addition, Teddy could be very unpleasant.
Sadly, it got to the point where Mrs. Thompson would actually take delight in marking his papers with a broad red pen, making a bold X and a big F at the top of his papers. At this particular school where she taught, she was required to review each child's past records. And she put off Teddy's till the last. However, when she reviewed his file, she was in for a big surprise. In his review, Teddy's first grade teacher said, "Teddy's a bright child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly. He has good manners. He's a joy to be around." His second teacher said, "Ted is an excellent student. He's well liked by his classmates, but he's troubled because his mother has terminal illness and life at home must be a struggle." In third grade review, his teacher said his mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't show much interest, and his home life will soon affect him if some steps are not taken. The fourth grade teacher said, "Ted is withdrawn. He doesn't show much interest in school. He doesn't have many friends. Sometimes Teddy sleeps in class." After reviewing these reviews, Mrs. Thompson realized the problem, and she was ashamed of herself. She felt even worse when her students brought her Christmas presents and wrapped in beautiful ribbons and bright paper. All of them were, except for Teddy's. His present was clumsily wrapped in the heavy brown paper that he got from a grocery bag. Mrs. Thompson, however, took great pains to open it. In the middle of the other presents, some of the children started to laugh. And then she found a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing and a bottle that was one quarter full of perfume. But she stifled the children's laughter when she explained how pretty the bracelet was, putting it on and dabbing some of the perfume on her wrist. Teddy stayed after school that day just long enough to say, "Miss Thompson, today you smell just like my mom used to." After the children left, she cried for at least an hour. That very day, she quit teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. Instead, she began to teach children. Mrs. Thompson paid particular attention to Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. Penny power. By the end of the year, Teddy had become one of the smartest children in the class, and despite her lie that she loved all the children the same, Teddy now was one of her pets. A year later, she found a note under her door, Teddy telling her that she was still the best teacher he ever had in his whole life. 6 years went by, and she got another note from Teddy. He wrote that he had finished high school, he was third in class, and she was still the best teacher he had ever had. 4 years after that, she got another letter saying that while things had been tough at times, he'd stayed in school, he stuck it out, and he would soon graduate from college with the highest of honors. He again told Ms. Thompson she was still the best teacher and favorite he'd ever had in his whole life. 4 more years passed, and another letter came. This time he explained that he'd got his bachelor's degree and he decided to go just a little bit further. He said, "You are still the best and my favorite teacher ever." Now, though, his name was a little longer. It said, Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. The story doesn't end there. You see, there was another letter later that spring. Teddy said he met this girl and they were going to get married, and he explained his father had died a couple years ago. He was wondering if Mrs. Thompson might agree to sit at the wedding in the place that was usually reserved for the mother of the groom. Of course, Mrs. Thompson did. And guess what? She wore that bracelet, the one that several rhinestones were missing. She made sure she was wearing the perfume that Teddy remembered his mother wearing on their last Christmas together. They hugged each other, and Dr. Stoddard whispered in Ms. Thompson's ear, "Thank you, Ms. Thompson, for believing in me.
Thank you so much for making me feel important and sharing, showing me that I could make a difference. With tears in her eyes, she whispered back, Teddy, you have it all wrong. You were the one who taught me that I could make a difference. I didn't know how to teach till I met you. For those of you that don't know, Teddy Stoddard is a doctor at Iowa Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. And the wing is called the Stoddard Cancer Wing. Penny Power.